I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Welcome to Red Mist Podcast, Season 4, Episode 24, the three-time Daytona 500 winning Jeff Gordon, DuPont, Chevrolet, and particularly the 2005 winning car. That was a thrilling finish when NASCAR had awesome superstars fighting for the win. Dale Jr., Kurt Busch, Jimmy Johnson, Tony Stewart. It had it all. It was a tremendous finish that year. Anyway, on tonight's episode, we'll talk F1 at Spa and Silverstone and other stories. We'll also talk NASCAR. More recently at the Brickyard, history being made as well. And some IndyCar at Laguna Seca, and news and notes. So with that, we still have Sean on assignment. He is, good news is he's still on Earth right here. So he's somewhere on Earth. I don't know where, but I mean.
He's playing with goats as they landscape a golf course.
Oh, wow.
So.
So a Tom Brady sighting, or I had to. I'm sorry.
I'm gonna get a lot.
Ones. Yeah.
He's gone for one episode, and you just immediately NASCAR-fy this podcast. So it's your thing. We know it's probably right. I think you've done your time because he's had rain for it. This whole year so far. All right.
Goodness.
You want to get into NASCAR and, well, actually, let's back it up. We've been off for a good portion of July, so we got a lot of stuff we want to try and recap and jam into this thing, so we'll do it a little bit quickly, but NASCAR, we've missed since Sonoma.
I want to say Sonoma. Then we had Dover, which a little bit of fun stuff. I was actually at that race in person.
Yes. So we
got to see that race live. And more recently, the Brickyard 400, one of four marquee races on the NASCAR calendar. And I'm circling the Daytona 500, the Coca-Cola 600, or as NASCAR historians know as the World 600, Brickyard 400. And the Southern 500. So one of NASCAR's marquee races happened this weekend as well. Mm-hmm. But which will begin with Sonoma? Did you pick someone to win Sonoma? Sonoma?
Nate, come on. We don't do picks for NASCAR.
Oh, gosh.
Sonoma was just another SVG win, and I don't mean to put it as like that, like it's a bad thing. It's just, it's his third win for the season, and it was at a road course. And I think at that point, if we had done an episode after Sonoma, it would have been the running joke of who's SVG's dominance is going to bore fans. Like, you know, it was getting to that point where he had just roped everyone at Chicago, Mexico, and now Sonoma. So I guess the question is, can he finish off the road courses and take the Roval and Watkins Glen?
Well, if that happens, if we just place him as the winner, right? mm-hmm. wins the Glen, moves up in the seed order in the playoffs. So he'll get a decent amount of an advantage to make it to the next round, right? So let's just say he makes the next round, right?
Top 12 at a point. He already has a good,
A solid push forward.
Push, yeah, because he's won three races. So.
Right. But think about this, right? He gets into the round of 12, okay? In that round, the last race of the... Okay, so it's New Hampshire, Kansas, and then the Roval.
Yep.
So Roval comes up, right? Then he gets into the top eight.
Yeah.
Okay. That's where I think it's he may see his exit unless it's
Well, here's the thing. Dega is one of the round of eight.
Anybody.
So like...
Yeah, right. Pulls it out,
I think between... At this point, I think he has a decent shot to go to the round of eight. Because I think he could make the round of 12 just based on his points of where he is right now. And I know I'm getting hyped up about this, about NASCAR for once, but it's because
it's music to my ears.
It's because of the pure stupidity that they've put themselves in. Last year was a great example. Didn't win, did Logano win a race? No, he didn't win a race, but he ended up winning the championship, even though he was 16th in points.
The least deserving NASCAR Cup champion that year. But it has to be said.
Anyways, you go with this idea. Your road ringer, right, comes in, is still figuring out how to do ovals, and
I know, and I saw it in person at Dover. It was so bad,
And it's he can, because of where he's positioned himself, with three wins on a road course during this regular,
and he can finish season, wherever at these other races, right?
More or less, yeah. He's not going to be totally out to lunch, you know.
No, but you're okay. Your pick at Dover is not SVG.
No.
You know what I mean? So.
I'm just saying, I think for Darlington, Gateway, and Bristol, it's going to be a tough time for him to get out of there, but if he can come out unscathed, then he'll be in the round of 12.
Yeah, right.
And then really his only shot with the round of 12 is he wins the Roval at Charlotte.
Would just be insane.
It would be.
As the last race to get in.
And then you go to the round of eight, and it's all right, Vegas, Dega, and Martinsville. Dega is...
And you know how bad and how good did Justin Marks sell this? That idea. It was sold. Here's a few road courses. And then the way it's mapped out in the championship, and Justin Marks circling those races that you could win, right? Or it makes sense to see you win. It kind of paints a pretty wild path to win a championship in a top series and a guy of his caliber. Imagine Kyle Busch going to supercars, right? How big of a change is that?
Right. So, just to close this off, he mathematically has a shot to get in, and the odds are kind of in his favor as long as, everything works out decently from the luck standpoint. Skill-wise, I don't think he'd win it on skill. I think it would have to either a huge revelation in the car setup and oval knowledge would have to happen, or he gets lucky in the process. I think that's really how it comes down. And it's not a
caution.
It's not a slam on the kind of driver he is or anything like that. Just knowing his strengths and his weaknesses, this is what it looks like would happen. For me, at least.
All right.
So
yeah.
All right, Dover, you were there. Let's hear about it.
Dover was awesome. It was there. Okay. Coolest part, the flyover. There was a big old plane that flew over. Mm-hmm. Couldn't tell you what it was, but it was pretty sick, and it sounded awesome. It just felt perfect. And then the race gets going, and it's mostly Christopher Bell and Chase Elliott fighting for the lead. And Denny Hamlin lurking, you know, mostly. And I'll tell you, it was looking to be like Chase Elliott's day. And I'll tell you what, I went with Alex Smith, and there was also another guy who we saw, DJ Cunningham. We know of him. He saw us, and we were just like sitting around for a bit. And it was getting to the very end of the race, and there was a dark cloud heading our way. Like, and so the funny joke was, is it going to arrive like with how many laps left, or is the race going to finish and then go on or whatever? And I'm thinking in my head, this is kind of reminds me of the time when we went to Stafford, because the rain was coming and Denny Hamlin's in the lead. And so it was like, okay, is Denny going to win this race? And sure enough, it starts downpouring, and I'm sitting in turn four, and it was getting pretty bad. It was like raining cats and dogs. I think it was like with like 14 to go. I was really thinking they were going to get it in, but I could also see why NASCAR would just like call it. Mm-hmm. But the rainstorm didn't last all that long. It was like a 20-minute shower. Hmm. Like, just rained really bad for the beginning part, then went through a shower and stopped. So I was thinking, okay, well, if it's that quick, they could get this race in. Like, just get 14 laps and call it a day. And, oh, but Christian, it was more than just 14 laps, of course, right? We had some extra racing beyond that. So I believe it was two overtimes. And, oh, Christopher Bell spun right in front of, or not in front of me, but like a little after me. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, he's trying to get the win too, but I think it was just, heat of the moment almost, and then just made like a silly mistake. And I don't know how he didn't like crash either, because there was another part of the race where I think it was during a restart or something. He got next to, I want to say, Chase Elliott. Could be wrong. And he spins out in front of the field, and I don't know how he didn't get hit. So he spun twice in the race, and I think it was, you know, almost a product of Dover, of being low on someone, how it just like brings you around in a way. Mm-hmm. So it's the Dover down to the as Mike Joy would call it, it's a self-cleaning racetrack. It just takes off all the cars and cleans it up, brings it down. But anyway, so with the second overtime, Denny Hamlin, Chase Briscoe are battling for the win. And Chase Briscoe gave it, I think, everything he had. And then finally Denny Hamlin cleared, and clean air was the name of the game all day. Once you were out front, you had a pretty solid advantage at Dover. And sure enough, Denny Hamlin came across line to one, and it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool to see. And Denny Hamlin did some amazing burnouts. It was a great time. Definitely would go back. It's been a while since I've been to an NASCAR race. I think the last one I went to was maybe a Dover when Chase Elliott won, or somewhere, one of the New Hampshire Loudon rounds.
I was going to say, I thought you were at, the last race you went to was Dover beforehand for a
yes.
year or two ago.
Yeah, that one, Chase Elliott won, and that was a pretty good race too. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, Loudon, I've been to a couple of good races. Brad Keselowski's first pole, Joey Logano's first win, not that it matters. Rain shortened. Let's see. I wish I was at the one where Brian Fricker's won, because he won as a part-time driver, which is insane. Yeah. That was pretty wild, but at least for New Hampshire races.
All right. Shall we move on to the Brickyard? You can give your rundown there.
And so the Brickyard 400. I'm so glad this race is back, by the way. Nothing against the road course, but if you're going to run a NASCAR race, I do believe the better race is the Brickyard 400. Mm-hmm. However, this race did prove to show that clean air, again, was the name of the game, and it proved to be a huge advantage for the leader. And I'll tell you what, it came down to really the last pit stop, and it was a two-tire call that I think was surprisingly not taken advantage of by a lot of other teams. I think a lot of teams thought four was it and went with four. And then Bubba Wallace takes the lead, and then lurking behind him is the winner from last year, Kyle Larson. And now they're duking it out for the win. And Bubba Wallace wins the Brickyard 400, and I gotta say, it was pretty cool, and I think it's amazing. But I think the wildest part of this whole thing is that there's a federal lawsuit going on with NASCAR versus 2311 and Front Row Motorsports. How happy was NASCAR handing that trophy over? Probably not at all, but I just think there's such a funny like story to that. So, I that just cracks me up too, and so, wow, yeah, it was I love the Brickyard 400. I know it can be boring sometimes, but there's some good racing, and it's a win at Indianapolis, you know, and everyone wants to win at Indy. So, I think it should always be the Brickyard 400. It shouldn't be a road course.
All right. Well, that was probably a lot of NASCAR, most NASCAR we've talked in a long shot. But yeah, they're off to Iowa this weekend for the Iowa Corn 350. So
there we have it. And it's a short track, so I'm probably, you know, look for someone that's like Denny Hamlin. Right, he's. It's kind of like Richmond in a way. I know I'm probably going to get a lot of heat for that, but it's. I almost compare it to that because it's small, but it's a little kind of wide. More banked than Richmond for sure, mm-hmm. But it should put it on a pretty good race, I think, given that it's a short track mm-hmm. for NASCAR
and. We got four races left in the regular season, and that means a quick look at the standings.
Three spots left in the playoffs.
With three spots left in the playoffs. So, if we have four different winners,
in these, what does that mean, NASCAR?
That means someone's getting left out, maybe.
oh my god!
But just to look at the regular season points, Chase Elliott is on top with William Byron right behind, Kyle Larson in third, and Denny Hamlin in fourth, and then Christopher Bell in fifth to round out your top five in the regular season points.
That's close too. That's still pretty close.
As far as your playoff picture goes, the focuses on the bottom three spots, so 14th, 15th, 16th, and then after that's your cutoff to the rest. Chris Buescher is the last one on the in right now, and he's got a 42-point advantage over Ryan Preece. Kyle Busch is right behind Preece, along with Ty Gibbs, and then the dinger is a little bit further back, but that's your playoff picture right now. Alrighty.
And the wild race is coming up still, so.
Yep. Yeah, we.
We'll see. We don't know who's going to win Iowa.
Nope.
I have a pretty solid idea who's going to win. Watkins Glen.
The Glen. I'm just hoping for SVG because we could just stamp the.
Chris Buescher last year. Chris Buescher last year.
Yes, yep. That could happen again.
That is insane.
So. Alrighty. Shall we move on?
Let's do it. Let's move on.
Okay. I'm just going to try and speed through this quickly because it's been a while since we covered these, or it's been a while since we've recorded, and I wanted to get back to this quickly. So IMSA had their previous race at Mossport in the middle of the month, and congrats to AO Racing, where they pulled out the victory in LMP2. It was followed up by the United Autosports car of Goldberg and Blomqvist. And yes, that is the same Tom Blomqvist that drives in the GTP category. A lot of the top prototype guys ended up making some special guest appearances in the P2 category for this weekend because the P2 car was the top class for the weekend. And then in third was Gar Robinson and Felipe Fraga in the Riley car. In GTD Pro, Costa and Itoi. Oops, that's a bad pronunciation for that. But the Dragon Speed Ferrari took the win ahead of upsetting everyone else. Because I don't even think Dragon Speed thought they were going to win that race, considering they started towards the back when the race began. And they were able to hold off Tommy Milner and Nicky Kasberg in the number 4 Corvette. And then Lawrence Heinrich and Klaus Backler was rounded out the podium in GTD Pro for AO Racing and the Porsche. Great race, all in all. Just some yellows due to P2 cars going off. But, I mean, really tight stuff going at each other around there. And then, who could forget the GTD class? That would be me. Danny Formel and Trent Hinman took the win in that class in the Wayne Taylor Racing Lamborghini, which was followed up by Windward Racing in the Mercedes with Richard. Is it Richard? It might be Richard. I don't have the first name on this one. It's Ward and Philip Ellis. And then in third place in the Vassar Sullivan Lexus was Jack Hawksworth and Thompson. And I think is it Parker Thompson? Yeah.
Okay.
That might be it.
Very, very nice.
So, that's your Mossport results. Just a quick look at the points. United Autosports, number 22, leads LMP2 with AO Racing in second and Riley in third. And then in GTD Pro, where are the teams? The number 3 Corvette leads the way. Wow, that's quite a turnaround. I shouldn't be surprised about that. AO Racing hasn't had the dominant season that they had last year, but been super competitive. Speaking of AO, they're in second, so they're still up there. And then that win has vaulted at Mossport, has vaulted that number 81 Dragon Speed car up to third place in the points for GTD Pro. So that is great stuff there. Wow.
Very, very nice.
The top five are five different manufacturers: Corvette, Porsche, Ferrari, BMW, and then Ford. Nice. In the GTD standings, number 57 Windward Mercedes is on top with the number 12 Lexus Vasilova Racing behind them. And then in third is the number 27 Heart of Racing Aston Martin. All right. IMSA goes to Road America next, and that is this weekend. That's why I wanted to get IMSA in, because this is going to be a nice big weekend of sports car racing coming up. So this is going to be the last year I say for now on this of doing a 2-hour 40-minute sprint race around Road America, because this time next year I believe they're going to a 6-hour format at Road America, which is
big
thumbs up, not just from me, but I think everyone else in the IMSA paddock, from all the interviews I've been seeing some of the drivers give, where everyone is really looking forward to that. So, great stuff.
Well, that's very exciting. And especially like in the paddock, I think a lot of drivers love Road America, mm-hmm. and we're looking forward to having a longer race. So I think it's, if anything, it's overdue.
Yeah. All right, staying within the sports car realm, I just want to switch over to WEC quickly. They had their last race at Interlagos. 6 hours, completely green. I think there was maybe like a VSC or two, but no major accidents or anything like that. Really good stuff. It was really nice to see the whole race unfold on its own. So nice stuff. And on top of that, Cadillac not only gets their first win in hypercar, but they get their first 1-2 finish as well. So dominant performance from them, especially the number 12 car that came out on top for the weekend. And then that means the 38 was in second, just ahead of the number 5 Porsche Penske car. And so it was really obvious that the Ferrari and the Toyota got hit kind of hard with BOP, considering the highest placing Ferrari was the AF Corsa 83 in eighth place, and then the two factory Ferraris, they're all pretty much factory, but the 51 and 50 were down in 11th and 12th, and Toyota was totally out to lunch in 14th and 15th. And when I say totally out to lunch, because in 13th was the 009 Aston Martin. And this is not a slight at Aston, because we love them on this podcast, but
it sounds great.
We also know that they're in their first year compared to a lot of the other teams that are in their second or third year or more at this point. So of running the car. So yeah, it's good that they're hanging on.
Yeah.
And it was great seeing them perform this weekend, and I think they're starting to get slotted in nicely into the BOP, where you don't have to just give them an outright advantage, but like they also are trying to figure out the car, I'm sure. So again, all for them doing well and everything, but I mean, to sit here and say Toyota is that far back with their car, no, that's they should be up there and hopefully have a more fair fight. So then just to revisit the top 10, Cadillac 1-2, Porsche 3-4, BMW was fifth with the number 20 car. Peugeot pulls out a 6-7 with the 94 ahead of the 93. And then the number 83 Ferrari, like I said, in eighth. And Alpine, number 36 in ninth. And the Proton number 99 Porsche was in 10th. The only odd thing about these results is 6th through 10th, two laps down to the leader. So, yeah, I get it. It's 6 hours, so a lot can happen, and there's also a lot of cars on track, too, because it's not just the 18 hypercars. It's also the 18 GT3 cars that are out there, so plenty of traffic to get through there. Speaking of GT3, and another first that happened was Lexus getting their first win in the LMGT3 category within WEC. So congrats to them. Number 87 came out on top ahead of the number 81 TF Sport Corvette. And then third was the number 10 Racing Spirit of Le Mans, Aston Martin. GT3 was probably the race to watch outside of the number 38 and number 5 Cadillac and Porsche in hypercar, because the battle for third in GT3 was going on pretty much the whole race. And even second place, because from second to third it was 4 or 5 seconds. From third to fourth it was a second and a half, and from fourth to fifth it was 3.5 seconds. So four cars at the end of the race in the top five covered by 10 seconds. Great stuff. Just switching gears quickly to the standings. In hypercar, Ferrari still leads the championship with the number 51 in first. The number 83 Ferrari is in second. With the win in Brazil, the number 12 Cadillac has jumped up to third in points. Still quite a ways off of the leading Ferrari, considering Ferrari has swept the first half of this WEC season. So we'll see how the BOP treats them going into the end, and if they can hold on to the lead. And then in fourth is the third Ferrari of number 50, with the number 6 Porsche in fifth. So can Cadillac or Porsche overthrow Ferrari in the end? I guess we'll see. The number 7 Toyota has been consistent. I think that's probably their best quality of Toyota, is that they can make stuff happen in the race. Having a poor finish in Brazil definitely didn't help, because they should probably be in the top five based on that performance that the team can do. But unfortunately, BOP is the name of the game, and now you want to even everything out. But BOP is nothing easy to get, so it's hard to get everything right, but it can be frustrating when you're just kind of in the same path, just going around in a circle. Make one car super fast. All right, now pull it back. All right, now there's a new car up there. You got to pull that back and keep going. Just never ending. In the GT3 standings, the number 92 Manti Porsche is leading the way, ahead of the number 21 Vista AF Corsa Ferrari, with the number 33 TF Sport Corvette in third, followed by the newly race winner, number 87 Lexus in fourth, and then in fifth is the other TF Sport Corvette, number 81. Points are a lot closer there, but Manti has put out two wins over the season, which has been really helping them in their campaign to go on. So After all these results are done, the next race for these guys is the Lone Star Le Mans race in Austin, Texas at COTA. And that is going to be the weekend after Labor Day. So we got some time until then. But, yeah. And that is the sports car roundup.
Very, very nice.
Alrighty. Do we think we can breeze through IndyCar?
I'm sure we can. Yeah, let's do it.
A lot of races here because this is the height of their season, because we got to get everything in before the football season starts here in the States. So, we left off at Iowa.
Yeah, and we only had two different winners.
Yes, we have. And since we've last talked, we've only had two different winners, which
in four races,
yeah,
two different winners. Mm-hmm. So imagine that.
Yep.
And so, what? Let's see. Iowa. Do you like the racing at Iowa?
I have no problem with Iowa. If anything, we need to add.
It's just more. The half-assed paving job is the one thing I don't like about it. Which
I know, I know, and I get the controversy around Iowa of, you know, whether they go back there or not, whatever, and how they've been treated and so on and so forth, because like it is hard to sit there and see, oh, they have ticket sales sold out, but you look at the grandstands during these races and they're not really filled up. So I don't really know what we're missing, unless I'm misreading stuff on my end. So that's just kind of the tough thing there. I have no problem with Iowa. I think it's great. It is what it is. And I would like to see more larger ovals back on the calendar. Not that there's anything wrong with Iowa, but like we could do with another, you know,
Michigan
mile and a half. Yeah.
Kind of deal. Well, Chicagoland.
I think Chicagoland would be good. Yeah.
That'd be a great track. So, oh my gosh.
But, yes, Nate, like going back to, well, we can't go back to Fontana because that was a great track, but yeah, Michigan would be.
If I say Michigan.
Would be, yeah, great. Right. Yeah. So there's
only, one bad crash.
I know. It's tough with this, yeah, with this stuff. All right. So Iowa, race one, went to Pato Award.
Hello. Oh, Bill,
I had which ones? No. Race
oh, Pato
went
Award.
To Pato.
Yeah.
Yep. And you know, we've been crapping on him a lot, but congrats to Team Penske that had a very nice showing out in this race one at Iowa, because they had Newgarden, Power, and McLaughlin finished 2, 3, 4. So,
yeah, I mean, that's just been their best race all year.
Yeah, and I mean, granted, it's an oval where I think everyone expected Penske to show up. Not that like you don't expect them to show up
after
not
this
show
year.
They've
written off this year.
I know. It's tough, but like based on history, like it's Iowa's been Newgarden's track. So, you know what? He showed up, came to play, and unfortunately, I think it got boiled down to pit entry being slow for Joseph versus Pato. That's how Pato jumped Joseph. But anyways, good stuff there. Race two was the Ganassi show this time around, because I think the bad luck returned to Penske as they finished. Why can't I find the third one? I can only find two of them. Power finished 24th, and McLaughlin finished 26th. So where was Joseph? Oh, Joseph finished 10th. Not great. Yeah, so second race, Hello Plo takes the win, followed by Scott Dixon, and then Marcus Armstrong.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
With a pretty surprising podium, I'd
yes.
say.
Yes, definitely.
For a road course guy.
Yeah.
Malukas was not too far behind him in fourth place, right. Who I thought would be a notable person to run well at in Iowa. Mm-hmm. But also, here's a quick tip of the hat to Robert Schwartzman. He finished ninth, yes. And gave Prema their best result, and even which, funny enough, it, once we get to Laguna Seca, it actually goes up a few places. It's,
yeah,
with Kellam Ilott. So mm-hmm. I believe he finished sixth. If I'm yes. correct, yep. I know I'm fast forwarding.
Fast forwarding a little bit. All right. Well, yeah, we'll then skip through Toronto really quick. Again, another great race. Had some interesting strategy, and also one car that was on top of another car during one of the incidents after turn one.
2 years in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Joseph Newgarden's bad luck just continues.
Yeah. I mean, Toronto did no favors to Penske either. Highest finisher there was Will Power in 11th, and then Newgarden down in 24th, and McLaughlin in 26th. So yeah, not great stuff.
But Rinus VK nearly won this race.
Yes, and they just had to. His challenge was holding off a fast charging Pato award, which in the end Pato came out victorious. Congrats to Pato. But the surprise of the weekend, I think, was Kiffin Sipponen.
First podium.
Yeah, first podium and the lead Ganassi car for the result. So congrats to him. I think the way with the yellows came out, the Andretti team just fell short, and sometimes you got to make the safe call and not go with the crazy strategy call, but it didn't really work out for them. However, they did finish 4th, 5th, and 6th with Herta leading the way. So, Andretti is there. They just haven't converted on all the attempts yet. So, and that's not saying that they haven't converted with Kirkwood, because they did twice with him. But there have been races where Herta has been up there as well, including Kirkwood in some other races before some, I guess, bad luck with cautions or timing came their way.
That's what happens in IndyCar sometimes. Something's just caught out by a caution.
Yep.
And it just turns the face the race upside down on its face. And right, Kevin Simpson finished third, and the next Ganassi guy was Scott Dixon in 10th. Yeah. So, I mean, it just shows you how wild the race can be.
Mm-hmm.
And Toronto always delivers.
Yep.
But to Monterey, right? I mean, I look at the podium, and those are three drivers I would say I could see finishing in the podium as such track, because Colton Herta is very good at this track, and Christian Lundgaard, he's just picking up things on these road courses and just making it happen, like getting on the podium. I think he has it has to be like 5 or 6 podiums at this point this year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. He's delivering.
Yeah.
And back to Kellam Ilott finishing 6th. And then, I mean, and here's Will Power right behind him, giving Penske the best result mm-hmm. out of the trio.
Yeah. You say Power's in 7th with the best of the trio, but I mean, like, the trio wasn't terrible this weekend either. I mean, McLaughlin finished 10th, and Newgarden was right behind him in 11th. So, I guess an okay showing, which is better than how their season has been going. So
yeah, it certainly raised their average on a season. But you just don't think of this happening to a team like Penske. Like
no,
And, you know, now they're flirting with trying to get a top 10 here with, you know, two guys fighting for 10th and a guy up in 7th. Mm-hmm. This season is totally written off. And then they look forward to Portland in 2 weeks. So,
right.
And there's only three races now. So Portland, Milwaukee, and Nashville.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the season's already nearly coming to an end.
Right. And I mean, at this point, I think it's pretty safe to say Pelot's got his fourth title, wrapped up.
Oh my God. Right. It's going to get in Portland and just chill the next two races.
I mean, after his finish in Detroit where he got taken out, that was bad. And then Gateway, eighth place. All right. Like, can someone pull an upset and, you know, make a good run? But I mean, he then just follows it up with five top five finishes in the last six races. I mean, really, at that point, you can't, I don't know what else you can really do to stop this guy other than quite literally take him out like they did in Detroit.
Right.
So yeah. All right. With that said, just quick top five rundown in the standings. Pelot leads by a country mile, 590 over 469 to Pato Award. Scott Dixon's in third at 392, and then closely behind is Kyle Kirkwood at 377 and Christian Lundgaard at 357.
And Felix Rosenquist crashed at the beginning of the race. He's falling down in points, and Christian Lundgaard, on the contrary, having a great day. So the swap for fifth and sixth there.
Yeah. All righty. And last but certainly not least, Formula One. All right. So in Formula One, we only missed one race, but we did have some stories that did happen in between Silverstone and Spa. The big one is Christian Horner no longer being the team principal, and Lawrence Metagy's getting the promotion up. We're going to save the Christian Horner stuff for next week because we've been trying to fit in a lot here, and I think some more time is probably would probably suit that story the best for next week when we have some more time.
A huge exhaust from the crowd.
We want to get to it too, but time today is not our friend. I mean, but Spa, it was a sprint weekend. I don't know. The sprint.
You're talking about the sprint out of all things.
Well, I know it's a sprint
weekend.
No, you're fine because where I was going with is it was a sprint weekend. Like, hooray! Did it make a difference to me? Nope.
No.
I mean, again, it just proves that Max Verstappen can win in a sprint race. So
and it's terrible cars on a great track is what I learned this weekend. And a useless tire too that doesn't even do anything.
Moving on to the Grand Prix.
Oh, sorry. Did I say something out loud? I was in my head. Sorry.
Grand Prix. I am once again very happy that with the threat of rain, I did not set my alarm clock to try and get up for the start because
I don't think anyone did. We kind of knew what was happening.
Yeah. Once again, we've red flagged the race because of rain. And I know that I guess this is a point we don't want to dive too deep into because we can spend a lot of time on this harping on it, but I guess the short of it is, based on how Silverstone went and the amount of water that was on the track then, and when they went and when they didn't go, the drivers met in their and discussed when they think would be an appropriate time if rain does come during Spa, and so the course of action was taken by the FIA based on the suggestions in there. But it's probably safe to say that they played it too safe, and you know they could have went out earlier. So it's a shame that you know you didn't get a, I guess, more proper rain race. But in the end, they were able to get the rest of it going. It was probably a question of, you know, why did they start the race when they did and then red flag it immediately after doing a lap or two under safety car. You could have just delayed the start at that point. Once they did get going, lap one Lando and Piastri got a great start. Lando leads down towards a Rouge. They go up through Radeon, and
just if
Piastri just
side by side. Here we go.
Blows right by him.
There's your race winner, Christian.
Yeah.
There was lots of action, right?
Well, you know, after that, really the only shakeup was lap. What was it, like 7 or 10, something in there?
When
you had the crossover point,
you were making the switch.
From wets to dries. And then it was kind of
no. Intermediates, get it right.
Right. Yeah, because you know the wet tires are relevant in F1. We don't use that.
We're talking about a useful tire here, not a useless tire.
So the question when they switched over to the dries was, do you go to the medium or the hard? And can the mediums last all the way to the end? You could see the hards doing. And the question was, in the end, yes, the mediums could last. But it did seem like they were falling off slightly. Not a crazy amount, but Piastri was able to hold on for the win. Norris was P2. Leclerc was able to hold off Verstappen for a podium finish for him and Ferrari. That's the fourth podium for Leclerc this season, so good stuff for them. I'm sorry, fifth podium, I bet. And biggest mover of the race was Lewis Hamilton. Made the call at the right time to switch over to the dry tires and made up a heap ton of positions. And Albon with a nice sixth place finish for him and Williams. And there was also some good, what do we have? Pierre Gasly finished the points in 10th. Gabriel Bortoleto scored another 2 points for Sauber. Good for him. Liam Lawson finished 8th in Spa. And he was the leading, the next Red Bull finishing driver behind Max. So good weekend for him. That comes off of a good weekend at Austria. Unfortunately, at Silverstone, he was taken out, so can't say how good of a weekend he would have had there, but it seems like he started to string a few races together, which is nice to see. And then George Russell in 5th. This is probably what caught me off guard. Kimi Antonelli really struggling. Not only this past weekend, but I mean the two races before. I mean he had the crash on lap one with Max in Austria, so not great there for retirement. And then at Silverstone, tough wet race, got taken out by Hadjar. These past few races haven't been the best outside of a podium in Canada for him. Because if you take that podium finish out of it, in the last 7 races, 6 of them, he's retired four of those 6 times and finished 16th and 18th in the other 2. So definitely a tough string of races for him in the Mercedes car, and I guess there's speculation of he's just not gelling with the upgrades, but sometimes you just have a bad run.
A bad race. Yeah, right.
So
He's you know, look, he's it's not like he doesn't have talent. He's gotten a pole this year. He's been on the podium.
Yes. Well, didn't he get a pole in a sprint race?
I believe it was Miami.
Yeah.
He got a pole.
But you're referencing a sprint race, Nate, after giving me crap about a sprint race. That's probably...
That's why we don't have sprint races. Yeah. Now it causes confusion for someone who hates it. I mean, extremely dislikes it. There's no hate in such a podcast. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Right. But, you know... I think he's also being maybe a little too hard on himself, too. You know, because there could be a point where he's probably overthinking things, and it kind of, you know, snowballs into something.
Yeah,
right?
I'm sure the rumors of Verstappen going to Mercedes probably haven't been helping if he's gotten into that headspace, because that can only spell disaster if you're thinking about trying to drive for your job at that point, but.
Right, and yeah, in your contract year.
Yeah. So. I guess just quick look at the points. Piastri is ahead of Lando by 16 points, so still very close between the two. It definitely seems like at this point we're at a two-horse race with both McLaren drivers this season. Verstappen's still in third. Can he hang on to it? I think that's probably the question.
George Russell
is 18 points behind him. And Leclerc is another 18 points behind Russell. So those are your
thoughts. And Verstappen hasn't had exactly a good string of races as of late. I think he's going to have a couple of races coming up where he gets, you know, a couple of wins, a good result, podium maybe, but...
Yeah, I mean,
I think he's just had a string of mediocre races.
I mean, you say that, but I mean that's it really isn't too bad. I mean, yeah, Austria he retired, but in Spain he finished 10th after the penalty, but he was like 4th or 5th on track. So take the emotion away from Spain. He's only had 2 finishes outside the top 5. And one of them he got taken out. So Bahrain was the other race where he finished 6th. So it's
right.
he can still get the job done and, you know, be a consistent top 5 finisher. So I think that'll bode well for him, unless, you know, one of the other cars or teams decides to rock up with some new upgrades that vault them up. McLaren is far and away ahead in the constructors. Ferrari is in second with a 28-point lead, or not lead, advantage over Mercedes, and Red Bull being carried by Max Verstappen is in fourth.
And Yuki Tsunoda being carried by Oscar Piastri's mom. And
yep. Yeah. They got to meet this weekend. I don't know what the
what the things. I guess.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there.
Your son's not your favorite F1 driver, but
maybe it just confused me. I guess I'm not up to date.
Are they dating? I don't know. You know what I mean? So I, not, yeah.
Only, anyway, only speculations.
Yeah. Right.
Alrighty, so, we've covered a lot, and that was probably way more informational than really any opinions. But you know, had to make sure we covered some stuff, and I think next week we'll get a little bit more in depth detail on
in-depth.
Lots of things.
Yeah, right.
Plus, we'll have
this
weekend. Yep. We'll have Sean back. but it's a bit of a lighter weekend in terms of motorsports, so we only have NASCAR at Iowa, so that'll take 2 minutes. And F1 is at Hungary this weekend, and IMSA is at Road America. Last thing before we sign off is picks for the F1 race.
And I have Sean's right here, and he picked Lance to win, Fernando finishing second.
Okay.
And he had Oliver Bierman finishing third, and Esteban Ocon was his dark horse.
Ocon is a good pick there. He is a previous Hungarian race winner.
Oh, that's why he's the dark horse.
It is.
It's a good pick.
But man, you're basically saying Aston Martin 1-2 with
a Haas-tafic
weekend. Okay.
But I'm gonna go with Max winning. Because he had to bounce back in some way. And I think they're going to probably go balls to the wall. And we'll see Oscar get second and Lando get third. And the dark horse for me... let's see. I'm going to go with Fernando Alonso. Will be my dark horse pick.
Alrighty. So I'm going to say it's a Lando bounce back this week. And then I'm going to take Piastri in second. I'm going to stick with Max in third. I'm going to take Lawson as my dark horse for this weekend.
Very, very nice.
So, and just so everyone is aware, there is a threat of rain for this weekend. So, we'll see how that goes. Maybe we'll have another 19 drivers starting from pit lane. Who knows?
Possibly.
Alrighty. Well, Nate, with that...
Good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Red Mist Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.